Everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
How can Kobe Bryant be gone? Today, a special edition of our program. We remember Kobe Bryant, the basketball player, and the man with the sports writers who covered him. The heart-stopping news and the reality of the loss of a basketball icon, a hard-to-fathom and discussed life, but most starkly, a life and lives taken far too soon. Bill Plaschke, I welcome you here. I would like to start with you. First, let me say thank you for your column in the LA Times today. I know how hard it was for you to write. You began your career as a columnist nearly the same time as Kobe's career started with the Lakers. You're forever linked in that way and others. What are you feeling right now, Bill?
Yeah, I still can't believe it. It's like a big piece of my heart has been torn out. A big piece of my city's heart has been torn out. This is a guy we saw grow up. And I grew up as a columnist as he grew up as a basketball player. And I remember he was always such a loner because of his Mamba mentality. He's the only one who understood himself. So he would, after games, he had no entourage. He would walk alone to his car. I would walk with him. And we would talk about it. He'd be so frustrated. People don't understand how much I want to win. People think I'm selfish. I'm really trying to win. They don't understand how much I'm hurting. He was really fighting back against the world. And then I remember I did maybe the last interview with him last week we talked. And it was about LeBron James passing him up on the all-time scoring list. And he's like, Bill, stop. My legacy is good now. Quit, stop defending me. Let's let LeBron have it. Laker fans love LeBron. And L.A., I love you. He said, unprompted by me, he said, I want you to write in your column that I love L.A. and I appreciate what all the people have done for me there. It was like he grew up and became this civic leader. And we saw the whole metamorphosis of Kobe throughout 20 years. No athletes ever affected me like this or affected our city like this. His loss is absolutely staggering.
Ramona Shelburne, thanks for being here today as well. I want to say this. Your column in 2016, the hours after his last game, in my opinion, is the best thing I've ever read on Kobe. Reading it again today, kind of surreal. Kobe's talking about his life after basketball, literally his life after death. He talked about everything with you, even the most difficult conversations. Where are your thoughts today?
Look, when I was writing that in 2016, we all go into the pitch, right? Why should he do this story? Why should he let me write it? And I said to him, I'm like, this needs to be the mic drop. Like, I'm going to go last. I'm going to let everybody have their say. And then a couple days after the season, we're going to drop the mic. And I thought he would like that. I thought it was an audacious thing for me to say to him. He liked audacity. That's how he was. That's how he lived. And he was like, nope. The only reason I want to do a story now is if we can explain who I was and the next generation, an athlete, a person in another walk of life, if they can read from it, if they can learn from it, and they can take something from it. That's the only thing I care about right now. And ever since he stopped playing basketball, guys, I think he has just been about giving of himself. And I don't mean his time or his energy. I mean of everything that Bill just talked about, everything he's learned, the metamorphosis from that young kid that we all saw. I mean, he and I are about the same age. He's 1 year older. I remember when he took Brandy to the prom. I was in high school for that. You know, and you watched him grow from a boy to a man to kind of an older man. You saw him go from the highest of the highs to several really ugly chapters that we need to talk about too. But he lived all of that. He experienced all of that, and then he didn't mind talking about it. He let us see him, and I think that's why he connects so deeply to people, because this was a man who quite literally wanted to bend the universe to his will. And he did that a lot. He actually did it. And that's what I'm thinking about today.
Jay Adande, your years at the LA Times and ESPN also link to Kobe's career. A common theme from your relationship with Kobe, if I could say this, your awe in his mentality. How do you consider it all today?
I consider the complexity that was Kobe Bryant, right? He was a man who wore one jersey throughout his career, but you can't even say he wore the same jersey number. And that just reflects how it's difficult to try to assess Kobe Bryant in a single sentence or with one thought. I'm laughing hearing Ramona talk about how her story pitch fell flat. And she thought she knew him, right? I think we all thought we knew Kobe, yeah. And we've learned a lot about him from our time covering. But he could always surprise you and go the other way. I remember one time I wanted to kind of get into it with him. The fact that his nameplate at his locker and his locker combination was different from all the other Lakers on his team recently, because Kobe was there from the beginning at Staples Center. So he had the original font mm-hmm. and the original locker, and it changed yeah. over the years. And I thought that would resonate with him because it would be a testament to his longevity, how he was an OG, had been there since 1999 when the Staples Center opened. And he said, no, I didn't even notice that. Sorry, it's because you can't always understand what Kobe's thinking. We tried our best. We tried to explain, and in his later years, he was really adept at expressing his thoughts and putting his career and giving historical perspective. And we were fortunate that he was so able to do that, because he was the bridge to Michael Jordan. He played against Michael Jordan. He played under Phil Jackson. All the people he played with against, and all the greats that came before him that he studied, he was able to put into context. And as I think about my time with Kobe, and is there anything I want to say to him? Actually, no, because the night he announced his retirement, I walked out of the building with him, and I finally stopped, and I said, Kobe, thank you. Thank you for all the coverage. You know, for the good and bad of our relationship, he always gave us something to write about. Everyone on this panel had plenty to talk about and write about because of Kobe Bryant. He provided great content, and that might be the easiest way to summarize him.
Bob Ryan, our Basketball Hall of Famer, and it's unreal to think Kobe Bryant will not be there in Springfield to give a speech when he's inducted. I want to ask you how Kobe's passing hits you as a basketball historian and as a reporter who's covered him as well.
I'm the only one here that does not have an emotional attachment to Kobe. I observe Kobe from an artistic and intellectual mm-hmm. basketball fan and writer point of view. And he was a fascinating, intriguing player and one of the all-time great players. You're so right, Tony. Within the first 5 minutes when I heard about what happened, I got a phone call from my daughter, by the way. That's how I learned. As I thought of the Hall of Fame and the fact that this coming later this summer or early fall, there will be an induction ceremony, enshrinement, they call it, hovered over by a ghost. He was going to be entering in to the Hall of Fame in the greatest entering class in history with Tim Duncan and Kevin Garnett. Those they were shoo-ins. They were going to go in together. It was going to be wonderful. He's going to be hovering over as a ghost. That's the first thing I thought of. The thing that struck me the most in everything that's happened in the last 24, 36 hours is the astonishing reaction. The astonishing reaction worldwide. The idea of Neymar scoring a goal for Paris Saint-Germain and then giving us a 2-4 with the fingers. The headline in today's New York Times art section about the Grammys, which is about Kobe Bryant and the reaction of people at the Grammys. Lizzo, who broke down and would not give interviews in the runway. The song that was created was sung by Alicia Keys and Boyz II Men. All the other people that pay tribute to Kobe Bryant. So far transcended the basketball world. The Pro Bowl guys who were struck by him. And then the wonderful tributes in the NBA itself. I want to congratulate whoever came up with the idea. Fred Van Vliet first, and then DeJuan Murray, which they held the ball for the 24 seconds to start the game in honor of Kobe, which was followed up by many other players in the league. All the other individual tributes. Doc Rivers could not compose himself in talking about Kobe as a valued and honored opponent. On and on and on. I mean, this impact was astonishing.
Singular in that way, I would say, Bob. In trying to define the undefinable, a person, all of a person, and with Kobe Bryant, as complex as a person could be. Ramona, you detailed it like this in that piece from 2016. He traded everything, his friends, his family, his identity, his body, ultimately his humanity, in pursuit of basketball immortality. This was when Kobe was very direct in talking about himself as a man and his whole life with you. How did you sense he came to terms with everything, his whole complex being?
Well, you know, in part of that pitch, I said, okay, if you want to talk about everything you learned, I'm going to have to push you. We're going to have to talk about the relationship with your parents, which was horrible. We're going to have to talk about the sexual assault charge in Colorado in 2003. We're going to have to talk about Phil Jackson calling you uncoachable and your teammates calling you selfish and arrogant. We're going to have to talk about all that. And he said, fine. He didn't flinch. And, you know, there's this quote that I ran today. I didn't run it at the time, but it's all I can think about now. He said, you have to understand the fact that we're human. We all say things that we shouldn't say. We all do things we shouldn't do. We are all angels. We are all devils.
Bill Plaschke, you would also like to address that?
Yeah, in our final phone call, Kobe called me, and I had my business hat on. I said, Bill Plaschke, LA Times. And he's like, bro, it's just me. Don't be so formal. And you realize it was always just Kobe, unvarnished, unrivaled, so direct. For 20 years, we lived with him. He lived with us. He was part of us. And a part of us is gone now. And it's so hard to accept. Mambas don't die. Kobe doesn't die, does he? He's invincible, isn't he? I guess not.
Bill, Ramona, Jay, Bob, thank you for your thoughts and your time. Impact, Bob, you were just speaking of it. I mean, it's felt in so many ways. The emotion of every NBA player who played a game yesterday and will play a game going forward this season. And the memorials we've seen in Los Angeles and elsewhere. I don't know if there's ever been a fan base in any sport that has been more in support of one player. But this image, the impact of this image, Gigi and Kobe from a Nets game last month. We'll have more thoughts on this, and we'll continue our remembrance of Kobe Bryant when we return. Tributes to the life of Kobe Bryant continue nationwide, worldwide. Time does not make that sentence any more real. George Sedano, Woody Page, Frank Isola, Kevin Blackstone, thank you for joining in. George, you were at Pelican Celtics last night, part of the broadcast. You witnessed firsthand all the emotion, even the consternation over playing. When you think about what Kobe means to players and this league, what strikes you most?
Tony, I felt like I learned yesterday the depths of which he shaped several real generations of basketball players. You know, you heard Dwayne Wade yesterday talking about his relationship with Kobe. I saw the video. I mean, those guys were peers, competitors, and eventually worked out, right? Tracy McGrady, another guy who's talked about that. But these guys I talked to yesterday, the Jason Tatums of the world, the Lonzo Balls, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, those are guys that have real relationships with him. Jason Tatum went and worked out with Kobe in the offseason. They look at him as their Jordan. Like, we grew up with Michael Jordan being the best player alive. They grew up with Kobe Bryant being the best player alive on the planet. And he went from being the guy who was the ultimate competitor and wanted to win at all costs to being a guy who then became a teacher. And I feel like that's something that doesn't get discussed enough. And that was something I certainly learned yesterday. You know, those three Pelican players that played for the Lakers were very much in a really tough spot yesterday. They felt terrible. Like, they were in a position where the team really felt like they needed to kind of console them, make sure they were in the right frame of mind. Even though they didn't play with Kobe, they worked out with him.
Let me ask you this, George.
And he was around.
Do you believe the NBA should have canceled the games yesterday or today?
No, I absolutely do not. My understanding is the general managers around the league met with the league, and they all felt that Kobe would want to play the games. And Carmelo said as much yesterday. So I do believe that they did the right thing.
Frank Isola, you were in the building for the famous 61 at MSG. You were there for his first NBA points, I believe. You've done work with Kobe after his basketball career as well. How will you remember Kobe on and off the court?
You know, Tony, he came into the league as a teenage prodigy, left as an iconic player. I was lucky enough to be there his rookie year when he was at the free throw line, scored his first ever NBA points. Dell Harris turned around to us at the scorer's table, the writers, and he said, I was there when his father scored his first points. And we're all thinking, hey, this is pretty cool. We're here for this guy, Kobe Bryant, first ever points. Who knew that at the time he'd be the third all-time leading scorer in the NBA, which included that 61-point game This Sunday will mark the 11th anniversary of that game. And to be in the building that night and to watch him play, for my money, my two favorite players to watch and to cover were Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant for obvious reasons. Great players, great competitors. And thank you for showing that video of him with his daughter. I did that game December 21st. The Nets were playing the Atlanta Hawks. His daughter Gianna loved Trae Young as a player. And to see the two of them sharing that tender moment together, and it just makes everything that has gone on, because he was able to kind of transition into this next phase of his life. He went from, I was a superstar, now it's time to do something else, and it was spending all that time with his family.
Woody Page, you've covered the NBA for the entirety of Kobe's career as well, and of course before him. How do you begin to tell the story of Kobe?
Yesterday, I was with my daughter when a stranger came over and told us about the tragedy. My daughter came over and hugged me because she knew of my lifetime around basketball. And I said to her, I'm just glad you're safe, because of the father-daughter relationship that Kobe had with all his daughters. In regard to watching Elgin Baylor and then covering Dr. J, Michael Jordan, and then the torch being passed to Kobe Bryant, when you think about those players and how they all transcended sports and in society. And in regard to Kobe, I want to concentrate on 2 years, 2003 and 2004. In 2003, I saw back-to-back games between the Lakers and the Nuggets. And in the first one, he scored 41 in L.A. They came to Denver in a rare back-to-back against the same team. They had a shoot-around that was voluntary for the Lakers. Kobe was the only one that showed up. We talked, and I said, how difficult is it for you to play the same team the next night? He said, I'll show you. He went out and scored 51, 93 points in two games in two nights against the same team. The next time I saw him was in the mountains of Colorado in July. And as I looked at him, as there was a hearing that we both were at, and he looked over at me, and he just kind of shook his head. There was nothing for either one of us to say, and I thought, we go from there to here to 2004 when he comes back to Denver for a basketball game, and I looked up. Half the people in the arena had Kobe Bryant jerseys. The other half were booing him unmercifully. And so there was such a tangible relationship between what people are now referring to as the Colorado incident and what Denver and all of Colorado felt about Kobe Bryant, especially today, and the loss that we all have.
You just had Ramona Shelburne on addressing that in part. Kevin Blackstone, how do you begin to tell the story of Kobe?
Well, I'm always uncomfortable talking about tragedy when it impacts a number of people, as did this incident. And we only wind up focusing on that person who is of some celebrity, and particular athletic celebrity in this case. But the only person I know anything about from afar in this incident is Kobe Bryant. And what I see is an amazing arc of his life. I mean, we saw all of his artistry as a basketball player for 20 years of his adult life. We saw a kid come into the league who appeared to be spoiled. We saw him grow up into a spoiled star who was bickering with someone like Shaquille O'Neal, an established star. We saw someone become an alleged rapist in an incident which turned many people against him and produced a rift among sports fans who were black and white, and saw in what happened in Denver many of the images of the worst parts of racism in this country. We saw someone become, as Frank said, an iconic player in this league. Then someone become an avuncular figure in this league to younger players. And finally, someone who dies in tragedy, which seems to have created a tremendous outpouring of empathy that for now has wiped over or washed over all the enmity, I think, that had developed around Kobe Bryant for some of the things that had happened in his life. And I can only think of one thing after all of this, and it gets back to something that Woody brought up, but I've always said that the hardest story to cover in news is to cover a mother who has to bury their child. And I can't imagine what Vanessa must be going through, having to bury a child and the father and husband of that child.
Thank Thank you for those thoughts, especially Kevin Blackstone. I'll address that in a moment. George Adana, Woody Page, Frank Gaisola, thank you as well. We're going to take a break right here. Come back with some thoughts on grief and loss.
Do you think your daughter might want to play in the WNBA?
She does, for sure.
She does?
Like, I mean, this kid, man.
Wouldn't that be great?
Dude, man, I'm telling you. The best thing that happens is when we go out and fans will come up to me and she'll be standing next to me and they'll be like, hey, you got to have a boy. You and V got to have a boy, man. You have somebody carry on the tradition, the legacy. She's like, oh, I got this. You know, boy, for that, I got this. Like, that's right. Yes, you do. You got
it. There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
It's too short to get bogged down and be discouraged. Or you have to keep moving. You have to keep going. Put one foot in front of the other, smile, and just keep on rolling.
It's okay to be affected by the passing of someone you didn't know personally. And someone's passing, part of you can pass too, part of your childhood. We all might remember where we were when he had 81, with that trip you took to the game with your parents where he didn't flinch when Barnes checked the ball, or how every time you threw out a piece of paper, you yell, Kobe! I remember how Kobe's Instagram page recently turned into a love note for his daughters. It's all part of life. To be affected by someone's passing is compassion in the most pure form, which is to say, to suffer with, quite literally. And in that way, we think of Vanessa and Natalia and Bianca and Capri and the Altobelli, Chesters, Abaya, and Mauser families. We walk with them in their suffering. We share their path. It's in this way we carry forward Gigi, whose story was just being told. It's in that way we carry all we have lost. Because the fact is, no one's path is theirs alone. No one's life served one purpose. Kobe Bryant, again, exceptional in this regard, in the ways he united people, encouraged people, provided a mentality, the way his life had complexity and tribulations. We consider his death and his life as we speak of the fullness of it and all those who were part of it. This is grace to amplify the best of ourselves. You can't live a life untouched by grief or tragedy. There are feelings you never want to feel, you never forget, but they are feelings you must give voice to. It might be the best tool we have to process. I heard it said by some, it feels worse today. It's a key point in recovery. It doesn't get better with time, it gets better with time and work. So consider letting your work be in how you voice your feelings and talk about other people, talk about people's lives in full, carry forward their spirit. Most importantly, be with the ones in your life and allow them, even in loss, to always be with you. We lost our only Kobe Bryant this week. There will never be another.